Truck Fashion Gallery. I am on the red phone, the hotline phone right here. Got Curtis Loftus, our treasurer, right here with us for the state of South Carolina. We have important issues to discuss this afternoon, so I want to welcome in State Treasurer Curtis Loftus. How you doing today?
I'm doing very well. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. You know, the president has a red phone, and I have the red phone now, too.
Well, how about that?
Well, if you check out Facebook, you'll see a picture of me on the red phone there, Curtis.
Isn't that great?
Anyway,
I aspire not to have a phone. That would be the best thing on the planet.
Yeah, it would be best not to have a phone, but since we need to be able to talk, it's a good thing to have. But how are you doing, Curtis Loftus?
All is well. I'm sitting here signing documents and signing huge bills and payments. It's amazing to see how much money crosses my desk. But I like to, most treasurers don't sign these things themselves, but I like to look at them so I can ask questions. So it's interesting.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I was impressed by the fact that State Treasurer Curtis Loftus, that you did not vote to censure yourself.
You know, that was one of those self-preservation things. I really couldn't get worked up about it. So silly, you know. The people of this state elected me to be the custodian of their funds, and it's a lot of money, $50 billion a year, and I'm going to ask questions. I'm going to ask a lot of questions. I'm going to never stop asking questions, and we've changed the way we do business in many areas because I ask questions, and almost always people answer my questions, but the Investment Commission won't. And they'll answer unimportant ones, but the really important ones, they won't answer. And I'm going to keep answering them, and I'm going to ask them in public, and I'm going to ask them before the General Assembly. I'm going to ask them any way I can because I'm going to get an answer.
Well, I know, Curtis, that you say that there was, what, $106 million that wasn't reported as fees, and so this retirement fund isn't doing very well.
Well, the retirement fund is, part of it's a product of the times. We're in an age where it's difficult to make money on a lot of investments, even though we've had a big run in the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
And that's made us a lot of money, and we're happy for that. But the Investment Commission has a portfolio. You know, its set of investments are just expensive. You know, you can have a Rolls Royce, and if you have a Rolls Royce and you paid $400,000 for it, you and all your fellow Rolls-Royce owners believe that's reasonable. You bought the world's finest car, and you think $400,000 is fine. Well, most people in South Carolina, we're driving Hyundais and Hondas and Buicks. So we've got a portfolio that's a Rolls-Royce. It's very expensive, and it doesn't make as much money as it should because we pay a lot of fees. And that's what this is all about, is how to lower those fees. The $106 million those are underlying fees that aren't directly reported to us, but we know they're there. And I don't want to make a big deal out of this. I don't want to emotionally load it. It's just you have to know what things cost. If you buy a car, if you buy a house, whatever, you have to know what it costs. Our investments cost us a lot of money. About $402 million last year is what we paid in investment expense and fees. Now think about that. $402 million. And we only made $125 million. So you can see we didn't do very good
right, for
the fiscal year. So that's what we're talking about. I don't want to make this too complicated. I want to have a little fun today. But we just got to know what things cost. People riding around Greenwood right now know what their car costs. They know what their house costs. If you're in business, you know what stuff costs. That's how you make money.
Sure.
We need to know what it costs us to be in business.
Well, I was kind of interested. I was reading an article, and it said consultants said, based on other public funds, that the retirement fund pays relatively low fees. And the consultants added it was difficult to compare all the fees paid by the commission because not all public funds report those fees the same way.
Yeah, but that statement is not true. The consultant didn't write that. The investment commission wrote that. What the consultant said was, based on their allocation, and again, we don't want to get too complicated here.
Right.
This goes back to the Rolls-Royce. Everybody driving a Rolls-Royce is paid roughly the same thing. You're paid about $400,000. Some people may have paid $410,000, and some people may have paid $390,000. What we want to compete against is not people in a Rolls-Royce. We want to compete against people driving that Buick. And there are funds who make more money than us. In fact, the average fund makes more money than us. But they have a different allocation. They don't pay as much in fees. So if you had all the funds lined up in a row, we return in the bottom 35%. So think about this this way. If your kid comes home from school and he took a test and it's 1 out of 100 and he says, Mama, Mama, I made 35. You don't pick up the phone and call grandma and say, guess what, let's have a party. Little Billy made 35. Well, we were in the 35%, the lowest 35% in how much money we made last year. So we shouldn't be beating our chest. We should be saying, okay, we got to do better. Part of that was the high cost of fees. Now, to illustrate what it costs to be below average, if we were average, if we were at 50% instead of 35%, we would have made $175 million more. That $175 million that we didn't make has to be made up, and it's made up by the government employees and the taxpayers.
So futuristically going forward, what's the answer, Curtis?
Well, we have to bend, and I think some of this has already been done. The commission just won't admit it. They would never admit that I might be right about something, and that's okay. I get that.
Why is that, Curtis? Why do you get that?
Well, hey, you're a married woman. You know what that's like. Sometimes you just can't admit it. I think we have bent the curve on a lot of these fees because we know they're there. The reason I put the $106 million into the mix is because it's an unreported fee, but it is very much a real fee, and we paid it. And so we just have got to keep progressing. The more honest we are, the more transparent we are with your money, because this is your money, the better off we'll be. So the real cost of us running money last year was $402 million, if I remember correctly, and we made $125 million. So we got to do better. Now, let's go forward. We had a better calendar year. In the calendar year, we did make more money, but still not average. We were still in that 35% range. So that's what this is about. But really, it's more than that. And I don't want to bore people with the numbers because it's easy to get boring. It's about asking questions. And what they tell me as a state treasurer, I'm not entitled to get information. Staff gets the information. Staff works for me, and I work for y'all. They're telling you that your representative, your only statewide elected official, can't ask questions and get answers.
So what's the answer for the future?
Well, I'm going to keep after them, sister. I'm not going to stop. I was at the General Assembly today. I don't get over there very much, even though I'm looking at the building, because I stay pretty busy. I went over there today, and I don't know how to say this other than just be blunt about it. I could not have been received more warmly. And I can't tell you how many of the representatives, and people from y'all's district, by the way, who said, give them hell. So the people, I think, are with me. The representatives are with me. I think the Senate's with me. There'll be a few people who aren't, but we just have to be persistent. You know, it's what's the old thing that grandmas used to always tell us? Life is a marathon. It's not a sprint. And that's what this is. I just have to be persistent and stay in there every day. And some days they're going to bloody me up. I just got to get up the next day and keep going. But I'm amassing more and more information every single day. And at some point, there'll be a critical mass, and it'll change.
So there is a way to reduce the cost for this fund. Because this takes care of our statewide employees, right?
Yeah. Well, not just statewide. It's your city employees, your city policemen, your school bus drivers, teachers, any government employee in the state of South Carolina. And including some others like Angie Cooper and the Ports Authority, people like that. There's 520,000 people in the system. But then everybody that pays taxes pays into the system. So it's just important. You know, being in politics is an odd thing. I never thought I'd be in politics. I got mad at the old treasurer, ran against him, and here I am. It's different from my thought in one way, and that is it's hard. I just expect people to be honest with me. You know, if I ask them a question, do you like the color of my tie? I expect them to say yes or no, right? You don't get that kind of honesty, and you don't get the full truth. What you get is parts of the truth. And that's just, you know, if you're a teenage boy and you tell your parents half the truth, your daddy's going to slap you on the back of the head, right?
Right.
Well, I get told half the truth all the time. And I don't put up with it. It's my job to protect the money. It's $27 billion. Let me say that again. It's $27 billion. The whole state budget is not but $23 billion. And this is a different pot of money. It's $27 billion. And I'm going to get the answers. And I think the General Assembly is going to help me. We've got legislation that's going to be coming into play next week. It's going to be being debated. I'm sure there'll be hearings. I look forward to going before the hearings. But here's a little twist. I want to go under oath, and I want them to be under oath. I think it's important that we swear, that we say that we are responsible for what we say. I want to be under oath, and I want them to be under oath, because we've got to get to a common system. We've got to get to where there's a penalty for not telling the truth.
Well, are they not telling the truth, or are they just not giving out the information?
Well, some of both. You know, when you tell half a truth, is that the whole truth?
Yeah.
You know, I don't believe it is. And you know, I'm willing to put myself at risk, but I want the other side too. But this is where it all comes down to. This is terribly complex. I mean, we could talk about this for 5 minutes, and I can guarantee you wouldn't have a listener left. Because we can get into all this arcane finance and government speak, but this isn't about that. This is about your money and your ability to have a say over it. Your ability to say, we're going to elect people, we're going to let them manage our money, and we're going to hold them responsible. The other people in this commission aren't elected. They're appointed people. You don't know their names. Nobody's ever heard of them. And so that's the difference. And I'm going to ask these questions, and I'm going to get my answers. I represent you, Ann, and I represent the people all throughout Greenwood County there. And that's all I can say.
So basically you're saying they pay too much for the fees and therefore the fund could be making more money because they shouldn't be paying all these fees. This is kind of like when you went in and redid the banking issue in the treasurer's office.
That's exactly right. We've been able to create efficiencies everywhere. And I love it. When somebody says, Curtis, I think you might be doing this wrong in your office, I love it. I've been treasurer for 2 years. We've had a treasurer's office for over 100 years. So I don't take it personally. This is a great opportunity. When somebody says you're doing something wrong, I always say, look, taxpayers are giving me a beautiful office up here. I've got two big, nice red leather chairs. Come sit in them and tell us what we need to do well, what we need to do better, and we'll do it. And we've taken that advice. You know, my office had not had a full audit since 1988. Think about that. Not a full audit of your state treasurer's office since 1988. We've run billions and billions and billions of dollars through here. So the first thing I did was I said, let's get an audit. General Assembly didn't give me money for an audit, but I found it in my budget. I didn't hire some people. I didn't buy some equipment. You know how everybody has to make their budgets work. So we did. And not only did we do one last year, we're going to do one this year because it's taken us that long to get it back. So you wouldn't do an audit if you didn't want to find problems. We found some problems, and we fixed them. So now I can move on. And the Investment Commission, I just want the same thing. They refuse to give me answers because they have never, ever, in my existence, they've never admitted the first mistake, no matter how small, no matter how insignificant. And it's more than just simple things. It's about conflicts of interest. It's about ethical behavior. It's about allocations of our money. It's just this huge world of complex issues. And because of that, information is key.
Absolutely.
So, again, I work for you. If I don't do my job, I answer to you. And so I've got to try to make these people answer you folks, too. They forget that government employees are taxpayers, too. And we've got to protect the system.
I understand. Let's talk about something else. Now, one of the things that I think you went out there and did, you kind of raised the a profile on this unclaimed property program with the Palmetto Payback?
Yes, that is the best thing on the planet. Let me tell you what we did. I ran a list of people. I said, give me a list of everybody we owe $100,000 to. And now, people who weren't paying attention to the radio are now listening. It was a very long list. And unclaimed property is a program we have where people's, mainly it's money, comes to us because it's unclaimed. It's old payroll checks. It's insurance claims. It might be a lot of money. It's accident proceeds. It's you go to the doctor's office and our hospital, you have surgery, you pay money, the insurance company pays money, and then 3 years later somebody finally decides that it was an overpayment, it comes back to you. So there's all sorts of ways you get money, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are when a parent takes out a life insurance policy on a child, And the parents, you know, pass on and at some point, and the kid is, you know, 30 years later just finds out that there was a policy. So I gave $100,000 to a woman like that. In the last month, we tracked down, and we had to do a little detective work here, found a lady in a nursing home and gave her $243,000.
You didn't give her a heart attack, did you, Curtis?
No, but gave me one, though. And her family told us that it couldn't have come at a better time because she was about to run out of money. And she had had an accident, and she was in good health, but she forgot certain things, right? Just certain things she couldn't remember.
Sure.
And one of us where she couldn't remember her money. We found a very complex real estate deal that was developers and lawyers were all involved in. It was just very complex. $298,000 is going to go back to a developer. So I tell you, another little funny story is we got $100,000 trying to give back to a guy in stocks, and he doesn't want it. So, and I think he's probably, I don't know this for a fact, but I suspect he's in a divorce or something, and he just wants it to sit. I'm not asking any questions. That's not my job. My job is to keep it here. So it'll be here when he gets ready for it, you know.
Right.
But so it's a funny thing. You get involved with big money and people's lives, and you find out all sorts of things. But everybody should check it. If you go to the State Treasurer's website, there's a thing called Palmetto Payback or Unclaimed Property. Either one's fine. Put your name in there. If you got a funny last name that's spelled kind of odd, make sure you spell it different ways. If you, while you're there, put in your husband's name, your boyfriend, your girlfriend's name, put in your parents' name. Generally, the older somebody is, the more likely they're going to have money. And females have a lot of money because of their name changes sometimes when they get married. And don't forget to put your business in there. I can sit down, and I've done this. I'll sit down sometimes and maybe put in 25 names, and three or four will pop up with money. And that's a great phone call to call somebody. One time I put in six old girlfriends, and three of them had money. And I was able to call them, say, hey, baby, don't you remember me? You dumped me, but I got you $500.
Curtis.
Oh, yeah, and I had a lot of fun. One of them, I got their husband, who was a great friend of mine. So I said, well, I was calling your wife to tell her I had some money, but I'll just tell you instead. But, you know, it's a great thing. You put in people's names that you hadn't thought about for a while. And what's really great is, like, Eller. That's a name that's not too overly used, you know. So you can put in a last name like that, and maybe you get 50 just across the whole state.
Right.
You may be related to half of them.
Probably.
Yeah, so that's what I love to do. When I find somebody who's got an unusual name, I like to just put in their last name. Don't even put in their first name. And that way you get everybody there and you find out. And what happens is the person ends up getting, I'll call all their cousins and say, guess what? I got you $50 or I got you $500 or something.
Sure.
It's amazing. We went to an African-American church in Bucksport, South Carolina, down by the beach. And they all came in. And many of them had the same last names because it's a small community. And we gave away about $35,000. We didn't give it away. It's their money. We returned to them about $35,000 in 2 hours.
Wow.
So if you get a chance, put your name out. Go to the State Treasurer's website. Put your name in there. It's easy to do. And if you can't figure it out for some reason, like part of the claim process, just call us. We'll help you.
Absolutely. Now, one more thing. How about your Future Scholar Program? Aren't you expanding that?
Man, it's so good. We spent a year redoing it. This is one of those things. I'm talking about mistakes and things. Former Treasurer Converse Chellis had a good plan. He kept good care of that. I came in and I thought, well, I think we could probably do it better because it's time to be renewed. It's a new contract time. We spent a year. And now we have the lowest fees and the widest variety of investments in the country. It is really, truly one of the top one or two or three plans in the country. Now, what does it do? It allows you to save money for your loved ones tax-free. You know, you put the money in there. You can add to it every month, once a year, whatever you want to do. And you invest it, or the bank will invest it for you. It grows in value. And when your loved one's ready to go to college, as long as it's accredited college, which most of them are, and as long as it's an accredited or approved expense, like class or room, board, computers, books, stuff like that, they'll let you spend it. And it's wonderful. It's flexible. Say you got two kids. You don't have enough money but for one. So you set the first one for little Bobby. Little Bobby turns 18. Instead of going to college, he wants to be a Marine. You can change it without penalty to little Susie. So it's that good. You can do one on your husband, on yourself. I mean, it's really one of the most flexible programs, and it's really good. You find it by going to College Savings Plan, I'm sorry, FutureScholars.com. Or just go, again, to the State Treasurer's website, look for Carolina Future Scholars, and just click on the link. It's simple. If you have any questions, there's an 800 number you call. College costs a lot of money. If you want your kids or loved one to go to school without debt, you got to start saving. And think about what a lot of people do. They'll start these programs. They'll have grandma and grandpa and aunts and uncles put, instead of buying birthday presents or Christmas presents, they put that money in there. And then maybe your tax refund check, instead of buying a new suit for yourself or something, it goes in there. So it all adds up. And then your kid goes to college, and he doesn't go out with this crippling debt that so many people have.
Absolutely. And one more thing. I understand that you plan to stay with the treasurer's office. You're going to run for state treasurer again?
I am. You know, I had not. I was not sure I was even going to run for re-election. I love my job, but I have never worked so hard in my life. And I come to work at 5 or 6 in the morning, sometimes earlier, and I get off at 6 or 7, and I do that 6 or 7 days a week. Now, I'm not complaining, don't get me wrong, but I am working hard. But I've got some things I can't finish. You know, I thought I'd come in, I could stay 4 years, do what I wanted to do, and go do something else. But I'm just not finished. So I've had to kind of backtrack. I've had to start a campaign again. I just started that. I had in the last 2 years, I bet I hadn't spent 5 years in fundraising. I mean, excuse me, 5 hours in fundraising. Well, there are a lot of constitutional officers who spend 5 hours a day fundraising.
That's true.
So, yeah, I mean, people don't realize this, but many officials in Columbia have little apartments or offices rented right around the corner from the State House, where they go make fundraising calls all day, because you can't make from State House. I mean, not all day, for three,
right,
4 or 5 hours a day. And I didn't do that. I just decided to work for 2 years like a banshee, because I come from a blue-collar background. I know the people of South Carolina are not rich. I know that they work hard, and they're trying to get ahead. And so I thought, well, this is the least I can do. I would want somebody to do that for me. But I didn't get finished. So I am going to run for re-election. I am going to get out there and, you know, buy some bumper stickers and get out more than I have, because I've been changing my desk, got to raise some money, all that kind of stuff that you do in politics. But if I can get 4 more years, I'll have finished what I started, and I'll feel good about things. Then I can go off buy an old ragged boat someplace and go sailing.
Sounds good, Curtis.
You come with me?
Yeah, I'll go with you, no problem. I could use
that. You've
never
seen me sail before, so you might think twice.
Yeah, well, maybe so.
My theory is, as long as I have good life jackets, we'll be all right.
Absolutely. Listen, Curtis, I sure appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule. I know you were signing checks and talking to me, and I appreciate it very much.
I love Greenwood, and any time I can talk to you folks, I want. It's one of my favorite places in the state, without fail.
Absolutely. And one more time, what's that website for to check out if you got some money there?
I can't remember. Just Google South Carolina State Treasurer. I should know that. I apologize. I can't remember these things. Oh, well, here we go. Well, no, it's not there either. I don't ever go to it that way. But South Carolina State Treasurer, Curtis Law Office, you can't miss it. It's not hard to do, and it's so easy. Go find yourself some money.
Absolutely. We need it, don't we?
That's it.
Absolutely.
And you know what? I have over $300 million that belongs to businesses and people of South Carolina.
We all ought to be checking it. We ought to draw some of that money down. Why do you have it, Curtis?
Go get yours. And I'll personally deliver a check if it's yours.
Okay, sounds good, Curtis. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for calling. Bye-bye.